Welcome to Synthaholics. This is your host, David Duncan. And with me, Aaron? Holly? Looks like it's just me. So, yeah. This is going to be a short one, guys, as I am by myself this evening. We do have a bit of pre-recorded audio from the last time we were at Holly's house. Holly did ask me some questions that kind of maybe from the point of view of a Trekkie who maybe isn't as deep into things, and she's asking me some spur-of-the-moment questions, and I was giving some very spur-of-the-moment answers, and these will be played later. We didn't pre-plan any of that. It just kind of happened while we're waiting for Aaron to come over to Holly's that last time we recorded at our house when we recorded Hope and Fear. Again, because it was on the same day we recorded Hope and Fear, we had a little bit of clipping issues, so there will be some clipping issues in this episode as well, once we get to that clip. But what I did want to talk to you a little bit about was, before we get started, was last night I did a Facebook Live, which was kind of fun. A couple of people joined in, and I was saying, hey, what kind of things would you like to hear about, or what kind of things would you like to hear me rant about by myself for a little while? So a couple of the things I got. One was, how come there are no superheroes in Star Trek? And so my take on superheroes in Star Trek is that superheroes are a very specific genre. Superheroes are, they're basically a genre unto themselves. Like, sure, superhero movies can, fall into science fiction, almost always action, sometimes drama, depending on how they're done. But superhero films and superhero TV shows are about the superhero. Star Trek is about us in the future. Star Trek is about us exploring and seeking out new... It's not about... I mean, sure, there's supernatural things in Star Trek and science fiction. There's technology way out of our bounds. But at the same time, it's about us. It's about what we hope we can accomplish in the future working together. So it's just a totally different genre. There aren't superheroes in it because it's not a superhero genre piece. It's a science fiction piece about humans, and almost, I love humans, and because, I am human, and all of you are human, but, sometimes Star Trek almost relies too much on humans. I kind of wish sometimes we'd see more aliens in Star Trek. So, Discovery's done a good job adding some neat aliens and neat-looking things on the bridge, and so hopefully we'll see more of that in the coming months. In years, as the news out of Star Trek Las Vegas is that we're getting, they want to have tons of Star Trek TV shows and CBS All Access, so that there'll be Star Trek going on all year round. And to me, that's the best thing, that's the best news possible. I'd love to have a new Trek year round, and that would give us so much to talk about on the podcast. We may not even be able to talk about, old Trek, which would be interesting. Always talking about new and the new things coming out. That would just be, endlessly fascinating and so much fun to talk about. Another reason superheroes don't exist is we already have, things that are almost better than superheroes. We've got Q. John DeLancey, you love him playing Q, and, Q could snap Superman out of existence in a second. That's closest thing we get to a superhero, that kind of almost magical power, the omnipotent, all-knowing power of the Q. So they could do, when you have something as powerful as the Q, you don't even need a superhero. And then as far as someone superhuman, you've got Khan, Khan Noonien Singh, from the Eugenics Wars. Of course, you've seen Space Seed, Star Trek in the Darkness, and of course the original Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan. So, he's a Superman. He's, basically souped up on whatever Captain America's smoking, makes him super strong and, makes super ambitious and and vicious as well. So it's interesting seeing. I mean, he's kind of like a superhero if you want to look at it that way. Supervillain, anyway. He took over the world, and then he fled. And he took over the Enterprise. And then he was given a world to take over. SETI Alpha 5. SETI Alpha 6. Something like that. I always get them confused, because they always think they're on the one in Star Trek 2, but they're on the other one. So it always like kind of throws me. And I'm not at a computer right now to look that up immediately. So, one of the SETI Alphas. So, that's it for superheroes. I mean, I don't have a whole lot to say about superheroes in Star Trek. It's just two different genres. I don't know why there would need to be superheroes in Star Trek. Personally. If you think there should be superheroes in Star Trek, let me know. Or are you talking about superheroes in Star Trek as in, like, their pop culture? Because as far as Star Trek goes, we don't know much about the pop culture of Star Trek at all. I mean, the only thing we know is they like to paint, do poetry, and play classical instruments. And usually when they're playing the classical instruments, they're playing, you know, classical music along with it. And they quote Shakespeare a lot. So, like, all their pop culture is, like, you know, it's old to us, and so it's got to be ancient to them. So, we also know that, like, Captain Proton, which I assume that's a modern retro to them, but beyond that, we don't know a whole lot about Star Trek popular culture, so I don't know if you were asking in the sense of superheroes in their popular culture, or just superheroes in general in Star Trek. So, yeah, that's one thing. Another thing I was asked was to talk about the future of, like, kind of streaming platforms, because with Disney starting their own streaming platform. And, you know, that's just, streaming platforms is just how things are gonna go. I worked at a cable company for a while, and there are times where the negotiation between the cable company and, like, the channel will break down, like, the local channels, like CBS or whatever, like, whoever plays the bills here on local channels. I haven't had TV in years, so I don't remember what channel here normally plays the bills here in Buffalo. But as an example, like, that, after a couple of years, that channel will go up to need to be renewed, and there'll be a contract going with the cable company and the channel, and the channel will try to negotiate for higher rate, and the cable company will probably try not to do it because they're trying to keep, or, you know, the total cost down for all the packages. So what happens is sometimes the channel gets pulled, and they just won't show up on the cable station until that is, you know, that wage or whatever has been negotiated out. And so with the way things are going now, CBS All Access was, you know, sure, the pay channels like HBO and Stars, they had their own app, so you could get those. But CBS, I guess, kind of being the first regular channel to do it, because they have a two-tiered program, and they have, look, people are paying us $6 a month or $5.99 a month or whatever the base pay is. So, like, they're going to have a number, and they can bring this to the cable company and be like, hey, look, people are paying us this much for our channel, just to stream it. And so they'll probably use that as a negotiation tactic to try to raise, you know, get that same amount of money from the cable company. And that's what I think is going to be happening with the other stuff going, too. With Disney doing it, they're also talking about making another streaming service for, like, the DC shows. The new Titans thing that's coming out is going to be, I think it's supposed to be on that, and some other DC shows that are specifically going to be set up too, on this new streaming platform. With these platforms, it just feels sort of inevitable that things are going to be moving this way, especially with CBS All Access kind of getting the ball rolling. I think more and more channels are going to have their own pay thing, and they'll be, you know, to incentivize people switching to that versus the cable company, they'll probably be putting exclusive shows on them. I feel like it's just kind of how it's going to go. I mean, I personally haven't paid for cable in years, so I usually like to do a roulette-style system where I, you know, subscribe to one channel, all show is running, then I'll switch to another one, then I'll switch to another one, then I'll switch to another one. I just keep rolling with it to watch the shows I want to watch, and that way I'm only subscribed to one or two things at a time at most. Greed kind of gets factored in, especially when it comes to Disney. Disney did some kind of shady things with, I can't remember if it was Solo or Episode 8. It might have been Episode 8. But they were, like, trying to, like, up... You know, it's a movie that was going to make a bunch of money anyway. They were trying to up how many theaters each theater had to show it on, and they were trying to really monopolize on things like that, and when I read about it, it didn't seem like, you know, it was really good practice. This is a movie that's already going to make a ton of money anyway, and if the movie theaters didn't acquiesce to all these, you know, raised demands for showing Star Wars, then they wouldn't get Star Wars at all. So... I'm not a super big fan of how Disney has been kind of treating the movie theater in general now with Episode 8, and I'm not sure if that changed with Solo or not too. But they seem to be doing that, and then them doing a pay channel that's a streaming service that's like, I mean, for me, since I don't get cable, it would be interesting to get if there's anything I want to watch on Disney. And like I said, I could swap this out for one of the other things. When, you know, Star Trek, I could cancel all access. When Star Trek's not on, I could watch that for a while and switch back. As someone who doesn't have cable, these options are interesting to me because it just gives me options to watch stuff if I can get an app and just watch it over the internet. Versus, you know, actually being subscribed for TV. It would be nice if some of these became, like, bundled, and, like, you could, like, bundle these streaming services so you don't have to pay as much for them. I don't know, because if everyone's got a streaming service, this is going to go... It's going to be so much more expensive than cable, it's not even funny. So, I don't know. I really hope that there's a better way, like, you know, choose channels a la carte and just get a special kind of package like that, or, you know... some kind of online conglomerate site where you can pick which things you're going to stream and just pay for those and get like a some kind of bundle price. Because right now, with everything being a la carte, with all these different companies doing their own streaming service, CBS, Disney, CW, I guess, like, it's just going to be insane. The cost of just keeping up with shows going forward. So yeah, those are my thoughts on superheroes and Star Trek and the streaming services coming out. I feel like it's really inevitable that more streaming services will be coming. I just hope there's a way that can be handled better in the future so it doesn't cost so much. Because the way it's looking right now, it's just going to be an arm and a leg to do anything unless you do a rotating thing with your pay channels. So here, I'll go ahead and play the clip of me and Holly, our Synthaholics short, as we called it, and I hope you enjoy. Thanks for listening. Welcome to a Synthaholics short. I'm your host, David Duncan, and with me is...
Nobody!
Nobody! Are you Arya Stark? I'm no one? I'm nobody?
I am no one.
I am no one? Are you going to murder me?
Well, I wouldn't tell you. If I were...
Oh, you gotta be ninja about it.
Although, I wouldn't kill... I don't think I'd ever kill you, but...
I'm not on your list. You don't say my name that night thinking about me.
No, I don't.
Well, that's good. For the Game of Thrones podcast, we haven't started yet.
Hi, it's Holly Michelle.
Hey.
Hey.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm sleepy, too.
My husband and I went and got ice cream a couple hours ago, and so good.
Zonked.
So sugary, and now we're, like, drained, and he went up to bed. He was going to sit in and talk with us, but he was like, nope.
He even braved through a Voyager episode.
He did, and he does not do...
Science fiction. Yeah.
And actually, we're... Hopefully going to hear from him at some point about one of the only science fiction films he enjoys.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, he did. He sat through Star Trek. He really doesn't like Star Trek. I watched, you know, the new JJ films, and he's like, no, I'm going to go find something else to do.
That's crazy, because those are like general audience type films, not Star Trek films. Mm. But you wanted to do something tonight that was a little bit different and kind of on the shorter side of things.
Yeah. You know, I haven't watched everything, and I'm sure you have listeners who have watched everything, but I haven't. So I thought it'd be fun to kind of ask you just a couple questions. You know, you are like...
Put me on the spot.
Encyclopedia for Star Trek.
I try to be.
So,
I'm not perfect, though.
This is, like, off the cuff, by the way. We didn't, like, sit down and say, oh, I'm going to ask you all these questions. I really don't even know what I'm going to ask him yet. We're just kind of burning some time.
Woo!
So, let's see. I love the Borg. Uh-huh. The Borg fascinate me. And
you want to be probed?
No. No, I'll be fascinated at a distance.
Okay.
I will not join the collective. But I like them as villains.
As a concept.
And as a concept. So can you tell us how the Borg came to be?
Well, that's an interesting. It's interesting because there's a booked trilogy called the Destiny Trilogy. I don't remember all the names of the books of the Destiny Trilogy.
I haven't heard
of them. But the Destiny Trilogy goes through how the Borg were created, and it even goes through the demise of the Borg, which is really interesting. So it's a 3-book series that delves into how the Borg came to be and how they ended up getting wiped out. So it was interesting. So like it started. I mean, it's not canon because it's the books. It would technically be Memory Beta, which is like all non-canon Star Trek stuff. But like the gist of it was that humans on the Columbia, which is the sister ship of the NX-01 Enterprise, in Archer's time, they were in the Romulan War. They got damaged and. They, like, landed on some planet, and there were hyper-advanced aliens there, and something happened, and they ended up making them live for a long time, and they ended up kind of becoming the Borg, like, through melding. I don't remember exactly how it happened, because it's been, like, 6-7 years since I've read the books.
Okay.
But I highly recommend them. They're a really good series, because it delves with characters between Enterprise, Next Gen, DS9... it's really, really fun and really well done. So okay. I would enjoy that book. I would encourage you also to read Before Dishonor first, because Before Dishonor takes place right before chronologically in the book series.
Mm-hmm.
And this set involves Seven of Nine, Spock, the Planet Killer, and the Borg.
Cool.
So that was a fun jaunt as well.
Huh. Very neat. And so earlier you said that the books aren't really canon. So the books are stand apart from the TV series? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Canon, everything in Star Trek that's canon is pretty much just what's seen on screen. Even the Discovery books that are being written for the Discovery show aren't technically canon, although they're trying to adhere to canon between both the original show and Discovery as much as they can.
Oh, okay.
So technically none of the books are canon, but... At least they're trying to adhere to canon. But, I mean, like, nothing really happened after Voyager and Star Trek. So,
right.
I mean, they're free to do whatever they want. I mean, they even blew up Deep Space Nine and made a new Deep Space Nine in the books.
Hmm.
Haven't read them yet. That's the Typhon Pact. I need to read those.
Oh, cool. So, I know, like, Dune, you know, they're still writing books for Dune.
Dune, Paul Guadib.
Is it like Dune where they just get... you know, guest writers or, you know, kind of like fan fiction writers to write books for this series that just keep expanding the world of Dune? Is that how the Star Trek books are written?
Or I don't do they know have what kind like of committee they've got. I'm sure they have to license everything out through CBS or whatever.
Mm.
So I'm assuming CBS oversees who writes the books and what they're about and... Mm. To some extent, but...
I'll have to look into that.
I don't know how their book writing schedule is, but I mean, they... At least, Before Dishonor, the Destiny Trilogy, and the Typhon Pact series, they're all chronological to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they build upon the story of what they're trying to set up. So those are interesting books, which is why I want to read the Typhon Pact, because I really enjoyed Destiny.
Okay. What's another good question? Mm-mm-mm. Well, you know, I watched a lot of The Next Generation, and well, not a lot because I've probably not even seen.
Trace has seen all of it a lot.
Trace has my dog has seen all of Star Trek. I am convinced.
And Storin hasn't seen any of it.
Storin's blind, y'all.
It's a Geordi joke.
Oh, that could be her nickname.
Geordi. Just make her, put her at the steering wheel of your car on the way to California. Because Geordi drove the first season of Next Gen.
Oh my god. That's great. How did the Klingons go from no peace with any other race to, you know, like Worf is the, like security officer on
Star Trek VI.
So why are you saying Star Trek VI is the answer?
Well, Star Trek VI, Praxis blows up, which is their main energy source. Mm-hmm. And so the Klingons come to the Federation. They seek a peace accord. The reason, like, Worf was there, because in Next Gen, like, there was an ambush where he and his parents were killed. And later you find out his dad wasn't actually killed. But all this stuff sort of happens, and he just, you know, kind of got adopted. He's very much like Michael Burnham. Like, a tragedy happened in some place, and some people came and adopted him.
Okay.
Like, he's the Michael Burnham of Next Gen, basically, where, like, his parents were murdered, some kind of Romulan attack, and he is raised by humans.
Got you.
Instead of being Michael, a human raised by Vulcans. So it's a similar situation, very similar.
So it wasn't like he was Klingon, and they allowed... You know, they integrated into society, and then Klingons were just part of the Federation. He was literally
he's the only one, as far as I know.
Okay.
He's the only Klingon in the Federation, but they're technically allies throughout the Next Gen
mm-hmm.
era, and sometimes they're allies in Deep Space Nine, and sometimes they're not. I mean, they are technically, but sometimes the Klingons are assholes, because Klingons are assholes, and Next Gen and forward, and they're dumb assholes.
Whatever happened to his son?
His son?
Mm-hmm.
His son... his son
What's
turns...
his name?
Alexander.
Alexander.
Alexander Rozhenko. His son grew up and came to him on Deep Space Nine. Like, it's only been, like, 6 years, but the son looks like he's in his 20s, so...
Mm.
He had a growth spurt in between, like, looking like he was 5 and looking like he was in his 20s.
That's like kids now, though.
No, but like all alien kids grow up like stupid fast. Like Naomi Wildman on Voyager, she should only be like 7 by the end of the series, and like she looks like she's 9 or 10 by like season 4 or 5. So I mean, it's like it's kind of silly how they have giant growth spurts. And Alexander was the same. He was like he went from an infant to like
was
5.
It the same actor?
No.
Okay,
different actor.
So what happened to him?
He joined the Klingons, and he was really clumsy. I think he died. I can't remember. I haven't seen all of Deep Space Nine through in a while, but he did get to see his dad marry Jadzia.
Cool.
I think so. I think he was there. I think he was there for that.
Cool. Okay. What's another good question? I don't know any great questions. See, this was a really bad idea.
This is just a short one in case we don't put out a regular episode this week, guys. So this will drop whenever that happens. So
whenever that happens.
So a lot of the stuff might be old news.
So if someone, say someone like my husband who doesn't like Star Trek,
mm-hmm.
could you think of, briefly, 10 episodes that someone who's not interested in sci-fi and has very little experience with Star Trek that would benefit from these 10 episodes, whether in order or not. I'm just curious if there are any episodes out there that people could enjoy that aren't specifically into science fiction. I mean, I know that there are some episodes that like take place on like the holodeck and like Voyager where... you know, it's
like Fairhaven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, I feel like maybe something like that where it's not overly spacey, but it's still got the little bits in there.
I'm
just curious.
I would say Measure of a Man would be a great episode. Someone where Data goes on trial for being, if he's sentient or not,
because
it's mostly a courtroom. That episode's pretty much a courtroom drama.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd also say Offspring, which is the
which
one where, you know, he makes his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good episode. It's good, and it's an emotional story. It's a good episode for anybody, because, I mean, I guess it's a little sci-fi-y, but, I mean, it's a relatable story about having a child and having your child die
mm-hmm.
in front of you. It's a really good story.
Yeah.
It's weird. A lot of them are involving Data. Brothers,
that's where it questions humanity and all that, so, hey. Yeah.
Brothers is another really good episode I think I cried in. The Lower Decks is a really good episode. It made me cry. I'm going to the ones that like hit me on
the
emotion.
Are these all the same series, or are these all from different series so far?
So far, they're all Next Gen.
Okay.
I would say watch In the Pale Moonlight, which is a DS9 episode. It's really good. Duet is another Deep Space Nine episode, which is really good. Unfortunately, with Deep Space Nine, a lot of the stuff is... You kind of got to, like... a lot of it's sequential, but Duet's a first season episode, so it's pretty episodic in the first season. Mm-hmm. So you can get away with watching Duet. And Duet's a beautiful episode. It's very World War II, Nazi concentration camp type story. Mm. It's really, really good. Really powerful and really well done.
I don't think I'll watch that because I still haven't been able to finish The Boy in the Striped Pajamas. Mm. Yeah. Have you seen that?
I have not. Mm. But it's based off a play, sort of, that had a very similar, like, Nazi being on trial for war crimes, for running a concentration camp. It's a very similar type story, and it's really, really well done.
Gotcha.
So I'd recommend that. So we're, I think, at 5? Shoot, I don't...
Hey, 5 is a good number to stop at. I think, you know, unless there's a couple more that are specifically, like... Yeah, people that don't really care for Star Trek would enjoy these episodes.
I'm just trying to think of ones that are like just really solid episodes on their own. Mm.
That's the name of the episode.
Yeah. Well, The Big Goodbye, it's a holodeck episode we talked about last week. It's not going to be last week when you hear this. So, The Big Goodbye is a holodeck episode where Picard's mostly trying to like just live as Dixon Hill. It's like it's a noir cop detective drama thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for people who like noir, they might enjoy that.
Okay.
And it's, you know, kind of standalone. And there's not a whole lot of spacey stuff in it. Mm-hmm. Like, the spacey stuff is kind of like the side story. Mm-hmm. And then them being on the holodeck is most of the story. And then the other little side story is them trying to get them off the holodeck because they don't know how to get them out because something goes wrong. Mm-hmm. Star Trek IV is a great movie for people who aren't into Star Trek because it's a very fish out of water, very little space in that movie, and it's almost like a Star Trek comedy. It's close to Star Trek got to doing comedy, I think.
What's the fourth one?
Will they go find the whales?
Yeah, that one is ridiculously funny.
It is it's really funny and it's really, really well done. It's like fish out of water. It's sort of. Yeah, it is very, sort of like a rom-com. And Kirk even goes on a date with the mom from Seventh Heaven. So I mean, it is kind of a rom-com.
She's the mom from Seventh Heaven.
She is the mom from Seventh Heaven.
Oh, I guess I never
put two and two together.
That.
Oh, and the dad was in Star Trek I, the motion picture. So they both have Star Trek ties.
That's funny.
Yes.
Maybe that's how she got the job.
Maybe.
I mean, she wasn't terrible in it, but...
Oh, no, they were going to give that role to Eddie Murphy. It was going to be a male role, and it was going to be Eddie Murphy playing the whale scientist. That would have been horrible.
Oh, wait, I thought... Okay, so now I'm picturing, like, Kirk with Eddie Murphy. Well,
It would not have been a romantic thing, I don't think. But because Star Trek IV was the one they were going for more laughs, I think they were thinking... If we get Eddie Murphy as the whale scientist, that'll be more funny.
And no, Spock stole the show with his friggin' headband karate bathrobe belt tied around his ears.
He's trying to hide his ears, and he jumps in the fish tank. He's like, they're not the hell, you're whales.
Oh, my God. I mean, there's more. Like, you know.
He's great. Spock is great. You know,
and, you know, nuclear vessels in that one.
Yeah, Star Trek IV is fantastic. I would recommend Star Trek IV most definitely. Star Trek VI is also great because Star Trek VI is an allegory for the Cold War. Mm. So if you're interested in history and interested, like, you know, it's... If you think about it like an allegory for the Cold War, maybe you'd be interested in it because it's you know, Chernobyl exploding in Russia. Mm. Is basically what they're doing with Praxis blowing up. I mean, it was like, you know, it was a similar thing, and then that's kind of what brought to the end of the Cold War. Mm-hmm. And that's what they were trying to do with Star Trek VI.
Gotcha. Cool.
I don't know. That's that 10, and I'm tired. I can't think of...
Anymore. That's okay.
I should right off the top of my head. But those are just some great episodes.
Yeah.
And a couple great movies that are just really solid, and you don't have to have a lot of science fiction for them. I mean, Pale Moonlight's going to be the hardest one to get into, because it's like in the middle of the Dominion War. But it's such a solid and well-written episode. I think you can kind of get the gist of it.
Gotcha. Cool. All right. I had thought of another question, but I don't actually remember what it was because I wanted to let you finish speaking first.
Sorry.
I should carry a notepad. I'm sure your listeners already really know, like, why you love Star Trek.
I hate Star Trek. What do you think I'm doing this for? No, I like them.
So we don't really need to ask you why you love it and why you continue to watch it, but what was the question I had in my brain? I had a question.
Who's the Jar Jar Binks of Star Trek?
I like Jar Jar Binks. Take so, me I would say, if you wish.
I would say Neelix, Jake Sixico, and Wesley Crusher. Those three.
Neelix, I don't know. Neelix is a... Sometimes I like him and sometimes I dislike him. But it's hard to dislike him.
He's super creepy.
He's creepy, yes.
He's super creepy.
But he's... but I like Jar Jar Binks.
He's a humble servant. There ain't a bit of gadgets.
I love the theory that he was supposed to be the big the Sith.
Yes. Like, I wanted this to happen so much.
And so many people hate it.
It makes so much sense.
I read an article that... George Lucas completely switched his, like, the stories around because people hated Jar Jar so much.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
And that makes me sad, because I just want...
He caved into the audience.
Right, and, like...
Because everyone hated Jar Jar Binks so much.
But...
And there were major rewrites to episode 2.
He wasn't going to be a Sith Lord that was silly and klutzy and... That was... I don't know.
Well, no, it's like Yoda. He was going to straighten out and just be menacing, mm-hmm. because that's what Yoda was. Overly silly at first. You didn't think, you know, he was the silly old guy who turns out to be the wise wizard, you know?
Right.
In Empire Strikes Back, he was silly, but they overdid the silly with Jar Jar, and everyone hated it, and there were major rewrites to episode 2. And I remember reading about them in magazines. I was very... very big on following Star Wars back mm-hmm. when the prequels were coming out, and I was like, well, what's happening? So this was when the internet was in its infancy, so I read a lot of stuff in magazines, and mm-hmm. I read there was massive rewrites to episode 2, given the backlash of Jar Jar Binks mm-hmm. and the young Anakin. So guess what? Young Anakin's not going to be in the movie, because we're recasting him for an older actor, because we need to jump ahead 10 years. Okay. And everyone hated Jar Jar Binks. So those are the two most hated things about the movie. Okay, so the kid's not an issue anymore because he already recast him as an older person. So Jar Jar's the problem. So if there's major rewrites, it's going to be on Jar Jar. And then Count Dooku came out of nowhere. He made no sense because he was riding around the Jar Jar thing.
Yeah. Well, we were distracted for a moment about the Jar Jar Binks.
I try to be a wealth of knowledge about Star Wars, too. I like Star Wars.
Yeah.
I just haven't liked any of the Disney ones, except for Solo, for a strange reason. It was not bad.
Good.
It was a perfectly okay film.
Perfectly okay.
It was perfectly okay. It didn't make me want to flip a table.
You know, I went to Dinosaur Barbecue yesterday, and
they
described their food as lightly slathered. I feel like perfectly okay is a similar oxymoron.
It was a perfectly okay film. It didn't make me hate it, which all the other Star Wars Disneys, just at every turn, they just made me hate them. Like, there was nothing about them that was redeeming, almost.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes we have those movies where we have to watch them again and again and again and again and again to find some distance with our love of the story or the idea in order to appreciate the film for what it was. I had an experience with a movie similar to that. But it is not... It's science fiction, but it's definitely not Star-related. So I won't get into that. But yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that's happening for you.
They ruined me.
But back to Star Trek. How about the Abrams-verse? Is it the JJ-verse?
It's the Kelvin timeline.
Kelvin timeline. Okay. Why is it called the Kelvin timeline?
Because the Kelvin is the ship that was there when Nero came through the time portal, which is where the universe split.
Okay.
Where the time shift happened.
That wasn't Nero's ship.
The Kelvin was George Kirk's ship.
Okay. That's
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Nero's ship was the Narada.
Okay, cool. So
I guess you could call it the Narada timeline, but it's officially called the Kelvin timeline.
Kelvin timeline. Okay, so with the Kelvin timeline, obviously it kind of commingles, because obviously we've seen our Spock and that Spock together.
Yeah, because they made it both a continuation and a reboot at the same time.
Which I thought was cool.
Which was clever to do.
Mm-hmm. So being that they're separate... I mean, I don't know if they're... Are they planning on making any more?
Right now, Paramount says they're making 2 new movies. One will be Star Trek IV of the Kelvinverse, and the other one supposedly will be the Quentin Tarantino's, which is supposedly going to be in the Prime timeline, or a different timeline altogether.
Oh, okay. Cool. I really enjoy the Kelvin timeline.
Three was Beyond was my favorite. The third one?
You know, I really need to see it again. It's the only one out of the three so far that I didn't immediately go out and buy because I loved the other ones so much. And then that one, I don't know, I wouldn't say, I really liked the movie. And I remember thinking, wow, people said it was terrible, but I loved it. But I never went out and just bought the movie.
Hmm. It's by far my favorite of the three. It's very much... It felt the most like Star Trek to me. It was the most Star Trek feeling movie since Star Trek VI.
Yeah,
I mean, it was more Star Trek-y feeling to me than the next gen movies.
Mm-hmm. Well, I liked it. I just for some reason I wasn't pulled to go buy it.
Yeah, I mean, like
I still plan to, but it's just, not on my top.
My biggest complaint. I feel like the ending was drawn out. Like where they're punching like him. They're flying around the city because of the gravity's wonky. Mm-hmm. I feel like that part was kind of dragged out.
Mm-hmm. A little too long.
Yeah, it was not my favorite part. But I think overall it's definitely my favorite of the three films. So that's good. But I think this is our good for our ending point. I think Aaron's just arrived, so we can record a regular episode. But thanks for wanting to do a little short stint with me, Holly.
Yeah, I wish I had prepared some questions for this.
Yeah, this was totally spur of the moment, and there it is. Well, thank you so much for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all.
All right. And thanks for checking that out. Sorry, it was a little bit different show today. I did try to get a replacement co-host. It just didn't work out. I didn't know Aaron was going on vacation until like Thursday, and we record on Sunday. So I didn't have a whole lot of time to grab somebody. I did a Facebook Live, and one of our friends was wanting to join us, but something came up, and he was unable to make it. So yeah, it's just. One of those things when I wanted to get something out for you, and I remembered Holly and I had a little bit of recording for you guys. So here's our strange off week. So we'll be back next week with Heroes and Demons. We're going to do the Voyager episode Heroes and Demons. So thank you all so much for listening. All our music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or Warp 11 on Twitter. Although our intro is done by Dave Wilkes. On Twitter, you can find us at Synthaholic Duo. I am at David_J_Duncan. Aaron's at Blackbird2004. And Holly's at Lunar Thistle. Join the Facebook conversation, facebook.com/group/Synthaholics. That way you can join in join in on the fun and enjoy the conversations we have. And if we ever do more Facebook Lives, you'll be able to see that there because I usually do those in the channel. You can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. That way we can read your emails on the air. You can also send us voice clips. Those are always fun to listen to, and that way we can respond. You can hear your own voice on the podcast. If you ever want to send us a voice clip, you're more than welcome to. We'd love that. Check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/synthaholics. That way you can, toss us a buck or two, keep the show going. It just is enormously helpful to us. A buck a month, it's not a whole lot to ask, and we just really appreciate it. It just, helps grease the wheels of the podcasting because we're doing, it's just the monthly cost of the hosting and as well as the yearly cost of the website. So anything you can do helps us out so very much, and we really appreciate it. Lastly, you can just go online to iTunes or I guess it's Apple Podcasts now. Give us a stars and rating and review. We love seeing stars and reviews. It helps us get seen in the algorithm because that's one of the most important things out there is getting a rating and reviews on iTunes because that's how the algorithm propagates out the show and it matters so much to us and it matters to iTunes and that's how. People can find us easier. The better ratings and more reviews we have, the better for us and better for everyone, I think it'll be. So it'll spread the joy of Synthaholics around. So, again, thank you all so much for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all. It is big 50 million miles inside of Mars. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. Till we laugh and we'll both shit our pants. You're the
best drinking friend I ever had.